Mr. Speaker, let me say thanks for the privilege granted to me to stand before this Honorable House once again, this time to contribute to the debate on the appropriation bill set before this House. A bill that I must hasten to say that I wholeheartedly support. And let me most graciously thank the people of Anthony Canneries again for seeing it fit to allow me to represent their interest in this Honorable House. Mr. Speaker, I am flattered to have been asked to open the batting on the second day of this debate on a pitch that seems more suited for pace than for spin. I say so because when I listened to the honorable members on the government side who spoke thus far, I remember the member for Groseley, who was very fiery, who stated her facts eloquently, and was in such good form that she could have bowled out the opposition in one over. And the honorable member for Castries East, who again was in eloquent form, and Mr. Speaker, if he was given more time, I suspect he would have decimated the opposition by exposing some of the corrupt policies of the last government, which has led us to the situation that we are in today. And of course, the member for Sioux Frere, again, ever consistent, and whose presentation is so suiting for the people of Anthony Canneries because of the portfolio that he holds. And when, Mr. Speaker, I listened to those on the opposition side, I noticed we had two spinners. I say so because they remind me of the spin doctors, spinning and twisting the truth and the facts to deceive the spectators, that is the populace, and to distract them from the excellent policies set out by this government to pave the way to recovery from the economic precipice that they have plunged this country into. But I will tell the House that so far they have taken no wickets. And today, as we commence the proceedings, I notice they have chosen not to show up as yet to face the pace of the government. Mr. Speaker, this country over the past 5 years, thanks to the then United Workers' Party government, has suffered from a drought, a severe drought of fiscal policies and ideas necessary to set this country on a stable footing. You can recall so often when in opposition, the members on this side had asked them to present to the House on this country policies that were designed to remove this country from the economic mess that it was in. Time and time again in this Honorable House, they were asked to provide us with the policies, and they never did. Even I remember when they were asked to collaborate with the opposition to present policies on crime, they did not oblige, and late they presented the so-called 6-point policy or plan to get us out of the situation, crime. And even then, the policies put forward up to today, I don't know whether they have ever been implemented, but it took the Royal St. Lucia Police Force to present a strategy, Operation Restore Confidence, to get this country back on its footing where crime was concerned. So clearly, the past government of the United Workers' Party really did nothing to present to this honorable house and the country any policies that were deemed fit to set us on a good economic footing. But alas, Mr. Speaker, the drought is over. Yes, it is surely over. Because with this new government, a fountain of fresh, pure, creative, and innovative ideas and policies have sprung out of the collective minds of these policymakers of this country, my government, our government, the people's government. And as set out in this appropriation bill, we see that these policies are very well presented, some of them being simple, but I know will be tremendously effective, because they are aimed at addressing the situation that the country finds itself in today. And when you try to analyze the policies or lack of policies of the last government, you can best describe whatever policies they were, what I consider to be a weapon call policies. As the young people would say, check for yourself. Yes, Mr. Speaker. Because what we have seen operating in the past 5 years, these policies were more or less like, I grease your palm, you grease mine. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. You get a contract, I get my share. And that is what you find when you have a government that has sat and designed no policies to take this country out of the economic mess that it is in, and they have not found it fitting to design a plan to take this country forward to the future. But you have to understand, Mr. Speaker, that this government that we have before us today has come in at an unenviable time. This government has been burdened with the responsibility of providing policies to extricate us from this quagmire of financial indebtedness. And at the same time, they must devise policies to maintain this country on a path to sustained development. And also, they have been burdened with the task to develop appropriate policies geared to mitigate against risks, as we have seen not recently in the global financial crisis. The last government spent time blaming their ineptitude on a number of issues. First, the initial squabble in the first year of the governance, then the drought, then the global recession, then Hurricane Thomas. It was all complaining and complaining about the factors which prevented them, so they say, of doing anything important to get this country out of the situation that it is in. But, Mr. Speaker, what they have not done, what they have refused to do, is to provide this country with realistic policies that they would have implemented to get us out of this economic cesspool. We saw countries like Jamaica, Dominica, Barbados, St. Kitts present policies that they developed for their countries after the global financial crisis. And like I said, Mr. Speaker, our government at the time was unable to present to us any policy that would realistically take us out of the situation that we are in today. So, Mr. Speaker, when I look at the plans set out by this government, to make way for this country, to develop this country for our beloved people, they have stated it quite clear. You notice the 3-point plan for recovery, job creation, construction expansion, fiscal consolidation, and the number of points and policies that have been put forward to see that these plans come to fruition. A lot of these have been mentioned by previous speakers in the House, Mr. Speaker, the previous members. And I don't think it's fitting to go through them all. But I would like to touch on just a few points as it pertains to the people of Anglesey Canneries and their sufferings and what they had to face in the last 5 years under a United Workers' Party government. And I could start off with the proposed employment measures, the Single Mothers Employment Program, very fitting for the constituency of Anglesey Canneries. Persons who have been deprived, mothers who have to raise children without a father, mothers who have to take care of a household without any source of income. And so this government has proposed measures to assist the single mothers in the measures explained in SMILES. The Youth Empowerment Program, the support for the Youth Agricultural Entrepreneurship Program. All these are quite fitting for the people of Anglesey Canneries. And I don't need to remind this country about the economic situation of the people of Anglesey Canneries. But the fifth measure, the continuation of the short-term employment program step, which the Honourable Prime Minister and Minister of Finance has indicated will be on a year-long basis for the people of Anglesey Canneries. I must thank the Honourable Prime Minister and Minister for Finance for keeping his election promise to the people of Anglesey Canneries. And for those who try to underestimate this program, one has to understand, Mr. Speaker, that in communities like Anglesey Canneries and the environs, we are not blessed with all the fancy malls, the large supermarkets, and all the grandeur that you see of communities further north in this country. these communities, the little boutique, the little grocery stores, one must be reminded that their source of revenue comes from those persons who are going to benefit from the STEP program. You see, when we have jobs with large salaries and so forth, we don't go to the small shops to buy our groceries, do we? We go to the supermarkets. And I know the plight of some of these shop owners, Mr. Speaker, because for the past few years, they have actually rang it in my ears about how things were rough, how things were tight. Many of these small shops had to close as early as 1, 2 in the afternoon because there were no sales coming in. The mother who came in to buy the little packet of coffee, the little pound of sugar, these were the persons who actually helped stimulate some economic activity in these communities. And so, having stepped year-round, I can see that these small shop owners can now breathe a sigh of relief, because there will once again be economic activity in these communities. And may I say that this is not this government's plan for the long-term development of these communities, but it is a stepping stone. It is there to help the underprivileged. And this country must understand this, that the STEP program, although named short-term employment program, but I will tell you that for a number of persons in these communities, it will be a long-term plan, because it is difficult for them to do any better than they are doing in these economic times. So there are many of those persons who will be looking out for STEP probably for the rest of their life. But we must emphasize that this government's plan for STEP, as the Honorable Member for Soufre indicated, that the design has changed. And there are other aspects to STEP which will help graduate persons from one economic strata to another and help them develop themselves and their households to look for a better way to life. So I applaud the Prime Minister and Minister for Finance for keeping to his promise and making STEP year-round for the persons of Ansari Kanries. Small Business Targeted Assistance Program. Partnership with government and the private sector. Again, we saw in the last 5 years that a number of small businesses were closing down their shops, closing down their business. They could not survive in the economic times that we found ourselves, and a number of them had to close their doors. But we see now that this government is bringing a program to assist small businesses. And as indicated by the Minister of Finance, the objectives first is to extend the support to small business operations for partnership programs that will sustain the current level of employment and, where possible, create additional employment. And another objective is to provide a pool of available expertise that would benefit private sector interests. So you can see, Mr. Speaker, that this is a thinking government, and a government, as I said, you may say maybe it's a stroke of good luck that we've found ourselves back in government at this time, because I rather believe that if the country had allowed the past government back in office, we would have seen ourselves slipping further and further down the slippery slope. So I must say that it is a blessing in disguise. Mr. Speaker, another situation that plagues the people of Anseré Canneries is the water situation. And this has been a situation there for Lord knows how long. And I see that this government has taken the bold step to design new water supplies for the area, not only Anseré Canneries, but we see also for the Mabia Valley. And also we notice the mobilization of resources to support the Roseau water supply system rehabilitation. And also their plans will involve the rehabilitation of a water intake at Banat. Now, Mr. Speaker, every time I think of the plight of the people in Anseré Canneries, especially those in Millet, with regards to the water situation, it always draws my attention to the planning of the previous government of this country. Those who had been in the reins of power for almost 40 years. When I look at the situation with the John Compton Dam, the people of Millet have a serious problem obtaining potable water. The people of Ketchume, Millet, only a stone throw from the dam situated in Millet. Water has to be pumped all the way down to Cicéron and then back up to Millet to service the people of Millet. So it is mind-boggling as to how a better plan was not put in place to allow persons from Millet and the surrounding environs to obtain a more consistent supply of water. We notice the dam situated in the constituency of Anseré Canneries, servicing primarily the north of this country and the people in the very vicinity of this dam have an internal problem for obtaining water. I know this current government in their plans will correct the situation because they have indicated they have taken the bold step to go through with a plan to improve the water situation in the entire country. And I will ask the people of Anseré Canneries to bear patience only for a short while until this situation is addressed. But as I mentioned before, Mr. Speaker, we have to put policies in place to once and for all eradicate this problem for the people of Anseré Canneries. In this financial year, the government has developed and implemented a national rainwater harvesting plan. Very important, especially for those persons who have difficulty in obtaining potable water. And notice that this government has allowed tax-free importation of rainwater harvesting equipment for a period of 2 years, tax credits, which will be articulated as indicated later on, in the third quarter of this year. And companies will be given an ease, especially those that retrofit their operations to capture rainwater and use rainwater for non-essential operations. This is something that should have been in place a very long time ago. But of course it takes a thinking government to to provide and project these plans and policies on this country. I see again that government is committed to flood mitigation. And in the estimate that was presented, a sum of $1.5 million was made available for river desilting, and this has already started in the constituency of Anchorage Canneries. This year, a sum of $5 million has been allocated because this government is aware of the state of the rivers in this country. And when I read further, $0.48 million and $0.9 million made available to assist drainage work in Anslere. This government, during its previous tenure in office, had undertaken the flood mitigation program, and it has served very well in Anslere, a community which was prone to flooding. And with the construction of levees in the constituency, this flooding program has subsided. But there is more to be done, and this government is aware of that. And I'm thankful to the Minister of Finance, Mr. Speaker, who has seen it fitting to contribute more money to further assist the constituents of Anchorage Canneries in the flood mitigation program. The other thing that impacts the constituents of Anchorage Canneries is the situation education. And we've heard all the talk that education is the key to get one out of poverty. I don't know if it is by fault or by deliberate design, but it would seem that the communities on the west coast of this island have had the raw end of the stick when it comes to education. And of course, we have to blame, to some extent, those policymakers of the past who have been in government for almost 40 years, who didn't see it fitting to devise proper policies to help educate the people on the West Belt of this country. Mr. Speaker, when I look back at the construction of schools, especially secondary schools in this country, we can see that a lot of the schools that were built in this country were built by religious denominations. The Anglican Infant Primary throughout the island, Methodist, the Catholic, the Seventh Days Adventist, a number of the schools designed, constructed by religious denominations in this country. Then Hess Oil came and assisted this country with a number of schools. But Mr. Speaker, there is not much evidence to show where the government in the past have directly formulated policies as this government did when they were in the last 9 years of government, designed policies whereby the government takes on the responsibility of building schools and the responsibility of educating the people of this country. In the past, it was a situation of one who had the money were able to send their children to school. It was education for a select few in this country. And this went on up until the previous Labour Party government decided that they would take up the challenge to provide education and schools for the people of this country. And what they did was bring education to the people rather than allow the people to go seek the education. So the implementation of universal secondary education was one bold step. But it was only a small factor in the policies that were designed at that time to improve education in this country. And when I look at the communities, Canneries, Ansere, Millet, Jackmel, even Marigot, Lakwamengo and these areas, Coolitown, this whole area had been without a secondary school, not well, up until the previous government came in, were in office. And this one secondary school, situated in Marigot, designed to service the surrounding communities, was for whatever reason planned or designed to be phased out of the primary school system by the previous government. And we heard a lame excuse from the minister, member from Nkuru South, as to why some of these primary schools, sorry, secondary schools, well, there was a plan to phase them out. One I heard was because they intended to make the Marigot Secondary School part of the University of the West Indies. I'm sorry, of the University of St. Lucia, Theophilus. And to date we know the story of that. So probably if they had phased out that school, and now we are going nowhere with this university, then one would have to imagine what would have become of this secondary school. Mr. Speaker, as a teacher, I know what it's like to go to a classroom of 35 students, sometimes more than that. I know the problems of having to teach a class of students with a broad range of academic ability. Sometimes you may find that if you are not skilled at it, those who are in the lower half or lower quarter of the class would be disadvantaged. So when I hear the member from Nkuru South say that there are less students entering schools now, which I don't disagree with, because I am aware that the birth rate of this country has dropped by almost 50%. So obviously, well, from about 4,000 plus to just over 2,000 plus. So I expect that, yes, there will, in time to come, there will be less persons going to secondary schools. But all we have to do, Mr. Speaker, is cut down the number of students in each class, so that the teachers can better handle the classroom, better disseminate the information, and they will be better able to handle those students who have difficulty in coping with the curriculum in the school. So rather than take this approach, they decided to phase out the secondary school and congest other secondary schools. But why Ansere Canneries? Why the people in this in that area? Already these people have been deprived. Why? So I'm happy that the Minister Education and member for Castries South, in his in whose constituency this school does exist, has made it abundantly clear that the Form 1s and Form 2s will be reinstated in the Marigold Secondary School to see to the proper education of the children on that school. And, but Mr. Speaker, you know, let me just point out in passing that there are young students in this constituency who are brilliant. The year before, a young lady from Canaries, Mr. Speaker, 9 1s with 8 distinctions. Another young man with 8 1s, 8 distinctions. And I must say, the then representative of that constituency didn't find it fitting to assist either of the students in sending them to the Theophilus Community College when they went to him to beg for assistance. And with no means of, well, no reason to boast about it, but I had to take on the burden of sending this young lady to Theophilus Community College. Because when she came to me with her results and I saw this bright future for Anthony Canaries, I could not have resisted. And I made the way for her. But I make this point only to illustrate that we must not neglect the people of Anthony Canaries and the environs. There are a number of young people who are brilliant, not just academically, but in the arts. Sports. And if we do not design policies to take these young persons, to bring them out so that they can reach their goals in life, we will be failing the people of this constituency. So I am happy that I see policies in place by this government. And the other important thing, Mr. Speaker, like I mentioned, we started with universal secondary education. And this was only a small part of the broader plan for education. It is unfortunate that the previous government did not see it. Because like I said, they are not a government prone to design policies, so they don't understand policies. But what we see happening today, with this government now moving into universal early childhood education, we are now paving the way for those young persons, especially those in deprived communities, to get the early start, to get them to seek their goals in life. And I make this point because, again, I remember clearly after the introduction of universal secondary education, it was noted that in secondary schools that there were young persons who couldn't read and write, and persons were asking how could they have gotten into secondary school unable to read and write. But I think what has happened is that universal secondary education has exposed the faulty policies of the previous governments, who claimed that they were doing a lot for education in this country. So thousands of children in this country fell through the loopholes. Today we are affording them the opportunity to go ahead with their education, but we are doing it in a bigger way now because we are starting with them at 0 to 3 years before they enter the preschool, so that they will be, their brains will be well developed and prepared to face the challenges, so that by the time they reach secondary school, this problem of being unable to read and write would have been eradicated. So this is a government which had policies, well-designed policies for the education of the people, the young people of this country. And it is unfortunate that the previous government didn't see fitting to continue on some of these policies. Mr. Speaker, I would also now like to address the situation with the fishermen, knowing that Anthony Canary is primarily a fishing village. This government has, in a big way, come to the assistance of the fishers of this country. And we notice on page 45, we mention a waiver of import duties on fishing vessels and engines, fishing gear and equipment, safety equipment, and a level of rebate on fuel used for fishing. The fishermen are happy. The cabinet of this government has also approved an increase in the fuel rebate for fishers from 75 cents to 150 per gallon, with current distributions of 25% going to the distress fund and 75% of the duty refund. And we also see an increase in the annual quota of fuel used per registered fisher from 4,500 gallons to 6,000 gallons. So this government has a conscience. And this government is interested in the plight of fishermen in this country. And it was well noted by the Honorable Prime Minister, Mr. Speaker, and Minister for Finance, that the last increase in the fuel quota was under a Labour administration in 2006, when the quota was increased from 25% after a period of 38 years. You see, we must highlight these points, Mr. Speaker, because it shows well what the member for Sufres said, that it's only when we have a Labour Party government, when we have a government of the Labour Party, it was also indicated by our member from Newport North, it is only during that time that the poor people and the Malawi in this country see a way for themselves, because this is a government of the people, for the people, as indicated by the member for Grozile. Another thing I noticed in the constituency of Anthony Canary is that some of the young men are now going into poultry farming and livestock farming. It is important, because we are aware that a lot of the young men are no longer going into agriculture, in the banana cultivation. So they are looking at other avenues for development for themselves, and I am happy to see that this government has given consideration for persons going into poultry farming and for the poultry farmers who are currently running the show in this country. And the Minister for Finance, he did indicate that some 30.3 million pounds of chicken are consumed annually, and of that amount, 28.2 million is imported, and only 2.1 million pounds is made up by the local production in the market. But it's only sad to know that chicken bats, Mr. Speaker, do not form part of the quota system for this country. Chicken bats is the salaison for the Malawi. Robert likes it. I like it too. I'd rather my breadfruit and chicken bats and brimpig and chicken bats any day. For a number of reasons. Not just the taste, but they say the closer to the bone, the sweeter the meat. That reminds me that this might be a good topic for the calypso season. But yes, Mr. Speaker, remember there was a time when saltfish one of the food, the salad is known for the Mary way in this country. It was salt fish. But now we see that salt fish is now a food for the elite. So I hope that chicken back stays where it is. Because there are people in this country, Mr. Speaker, who just cannot afford to do better. So the Honorable Prime Minister and Minister for Finance proposed to increase the quota of the local producers in July of this year. And that he indicated that it will move from 20% to 30% on the total purchases of poultry products. And he has indicated, and I must re-emphasize, that if the government is satisfied beyond reasonable doubt that the poultry farmers can resolve all the challenges to increasing their production, then the government would consider increasing the quota to 40% of the market share in July of next year. So we see a government that is thinking. And I am happy that this is being done, because it will come to the aid of a number of the young people in Ansari Canneries who I now see going into poultry farming. And even one or two of them who are going into rearing of the pigs. Pork. Ansari Canneries is also...
Honourable Member, you have 15 minutes remaining to conclude your contribution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I don't think it will take me 15 minutes to complete what I am about to. But I wanted to point out the policies of this government on agriculture. We have heard about it. We have heard about these policies by the Minister for Agriculture and Member for Newport North, so I need not go into it in detail. But when I said that the policies of this last government were policies described as wepukau policies, it reminds me of the previous member for my constituency. A building to store fertilizer for the people of the community constructed on his property. Greenhouses given to the people in the constituency to grow seedlings to help distribute the farmers on his property.
Honourable Member, how does that relate to the debate before the House?
The policies, Mr. Speaker.
That does not relate to this debate. So please refrain from those sorts of references.
Mr. Speaker, the people in the farmers in the millet Kashime area frequently come to me for assistance in obtaining fertilizer for the crop. And the problem that they have is because they are not allowed access to the property owned by the person I mentioned earlier on. And it's a problem for them. So now this government may have to look at ways and means of further assisting those farmers in obtaining fertilizers for the property. And that is the point I wanted to make. It's a serious problem for them, further aggravated by the disease, the black cytotoxin, which is affecting them currently. If you don't do these things. So as I indicated, the Minister for Agriculture has indicated the policies, and I am sure that the policies indicated for agriculture is only a stepping stone to assist the farmers in our constituency. And this government now has to look at the broad picture of the banana industry, and we have seen here again measures that they will take to assist. But, Mr. Speaker, it is worrisome because it would appear that we are going through a phase where eventually banana may soon be wiped out of this country. It's not alarming. There was once cane. We had to phase out of cane. Now the situation of the bananas, it appears that we may very soon have to phase out of it. But this government, as you can see in their policies, is preparing the farmers to organize themselves through their policies to go into other forms of agriculture so that they can find some form, some source of revenue to sustain themselves. We have heard of persons who have now had to abandon their land because the previous administration did nothing, had very little policies in place to assist those farmers. So we see that some of the policies set out by this government is creating the avenue for farmers to diversify so as to, like I say, create an alternative source of revenue for themselves. In a nutshell, Mr. Speaker, these are the key areas that affect the constituents of Ankara Canneries. I didn't go too much into the policies set out for the youth because I am sure that the Minister for Denry, the Member sorry, for Denry North and Minister for Youth Development will expound on these policies, so I do not want to go into it in detail. But the youth of Ankara Canneries must understand that this government have designed policies that will benefit their development, that is in keeping of in the development of their person and their life. The creative industries, as will be spoken of by the member for Chazelle, will further indicate some of these policies that this government have designed for the development of the youth in this country. And I know in Ankara Canneries, where we have a very large youthful population, that they will benefit big time from these policies. So, Mr. Speaker, like I said in a nutshell, these were the areas that concerned me. These are the areas that are of major concern for the persons of Ankara Canneries. And I am happy that the current government has seen it fitting to design policies, to pave the way for the economic development of this country, for the sustained economic development. They have looked at short-term measures to buffer the economic situation that we're in now, medium-term measures, and as the life of this government, of this current government, extends, we shall see policies designed for the long-term development of the people of this country. So, Mr. Speaker, let me once again thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak and give my humble contribution to this debate and remind this House that I wholeheartedly support the policies indicated in this appropriation bill. I thank you.